What's happening, everyone? This is another edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by CSNNE.com Celtics insider A'Sherrod Blakely.
What's going on, Kyle Draper?
Yo, I got to take a picture of you right now, man, because you're wearing your Syracuse gear.
Yes.
And you're supporting a losing program.
I'm
right
supporting
now,
a team
bro.
With a winning record that's coming off a very positive victory over the Miami Hurricanes. Sorry, Jay Larinaga, but we had to do it to your pops.
You ain't mentioned that BC loss, though, did
what
you?
Loss?
You
ain't had that what loss? Loss. I have
smoked.
No recollection of what you're talking about, Kyle Rashid Draper.
Hey, I'm going to let you wear that orange, man. Maybe you can change their fortunes for them.
That's right.
Over the next half hour, whatever it is, we're going to be talking to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News. Get his thoughts on Joel Embiid and what's going on with Nerlens Noel. Can the Celtics actually pry Nerlens from Philly? We'll ask Keith Pompey that. But first, let's get into the team. Sherrod playing better ball. Isaiah's going nuts, playing the best ball of his career. Things seem to be at least A-OK in Celtics land right
for
now.
For the most part. And then you got Jay Crowder.
Hey, Jay talked to the media on Thursday. We're going to play that in a minute. But first, I feel like Jay has a beef, dude.
Listen.
Hey, if you're a home guy, if you're one of the players and you hear somebody else cheering for an opposing team, you're not supposed to like that.
You know, but my only issue with Jay, okay, call the fans out for that. Cool. I'm with you. But then you go on Twitter, dude. You know you can't win Twitter battles, man. Twitter beef, you have to be above that. And to me, that was the issue. And getting back to the fans, though, when you're a fan at a game, you can cheer for who the hell you want to. If you should be cheering for him.
You could do it, but it's weak.
It's your prerogative.
But if you're a Celtics fan, cheer for the Celtics.
If you're a Celtics fan, you want the best for your team. Always. Always. If this guy is going to be a free agent in this summer, you know damn well as I do, that if you add him to the mix, it makes them a better team.
True.
Does it make you Cleveland? Does it make you Golden State? No. But it makes you better than you are currently. And that, I think, the other issue, and to me, this is the part that I don't think anyone has talked about. Jay thinks he's better than
and he should think he's better than
Gordon.
But
here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you add a Kevin Durant and you cheer for him, Jay will say that bothers him, but he understands.
Right, he understands.
If you're cheering for Paul George, if you're cheering for Kawhi Leonard, he understands why fans would cheer. But this is Gordon Hayward, a dude that y'all know and I know I can bust.
Hey, that's all I'm saying.
Every time they play, he proves it.
Exactly.
I mean, Gordon had 23, but Jay had 21 on 8 shots.
Right.
Gordon needed 14. And Jay made impactful plays.
Right.
Free throws, three-pointers, 5 for 6 on threes. I mean, it was the best game he had since the season opener.
Hey, I'm on Jay's side. You know, I do agree with you. The whole Twitter back and forth, probably not the best thing to do. The team told him to take it down. He deleted those tweets. But in terms of being pissed off, I'm cool with it. Jay spoke to the media on Thursday to clarify his comments. Listen to that, and we'll react right after this.
I was a little angry after the game, obviously. I said what I had to say to Adam after the game. I swear I probably should have left it right there. I went on Twitter and said what I had to say, and that's one thing I regret, going back and forth with fans on Twitter, but that's how I was feeling at the time.
Have your feelings changed?
About what I said?
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to leave Boston. Obviously, I love it here. Obviously, the fans have treated me great. I'm no doubt about that. I still stand behind what I said about how I felt disrespected when cheering for Gordon Hayward. I live with that. I stand behind that 100% as a man, as a basketball player who put my time away from my family into this. I stand behind that.
You probably know that they cheered Kevin Durant when he came in last year.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
He'll probably boo him if he doesn't sign with the Celtics.
Well, I just remember when I got here a couple years ago, when we were however many games under 500, the fans cheered for us. Not one time did they cheer for another player when they came into town. Things have changed since then. I'm aware of that. But that's never happened. That's never happened in an arena I've been in. I've never been on the road and got cheered for or saw any of my teammates get cheered for by the opposing team. So it was just something different for me that really touched me. I don't like when they cheer for DeMarcus Cousins. I don't like when they cheer for Kevin Durant. I don't think you should do that.
See, so Jay, hey, Jay keeping it, he's standing by his comments, Sherrod. I like that about him.
I'm glad he did not go into what I call full-blown Deion Sanders coverage where you got the backpedal nonstop. Right, right. He took a step or two back, but he didn't go into full pass coverage, and that was good to see. I love the fact that he stood his ground, but I still, and he alluded to this as well, he should have gone on Twitter. That, right, to me, right. In this whole mess, that was where he really, really screwed this thing up. It's okay to be mad at the fans for cheering for another guy. You should be. But the other thing, and Danny Ainge alluded to this earlier on Toucher and Rich, where Jay, maybe they need to cheer for the opposing small forward every night if you're going to put up those kind of numbers, if you're going to play it like that. And that, to me, is the other issue in all of this. I mean, it took fans cheering for the dude that you go up against to step your game up to that level? Really?
Maybe we'll see a change Jay Crowder now.
I hope so. Because look, man, I'll be the first to carry a Robert Covington is better than you sign up in the TD Garden. If that could get him 21 points, absolutely.
Well, here's the thing about Jay, though. You know, the Twitter thing, obviously, that was the wrong thing to do. But does this change fans' view of him? Does this impact his standing with Celtics fans forward?
I think it does. And I think
let me finish. Fans are a little too sensitive.
I think this will make him an even bigger fan favorite. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's saying, you need to be ride or die with me and my crew. I'm ride or die with you. You need to be ride or die with me. I don't want you. I mean, to me, it's like having a girl and she's, you know, flirting with another dude. She may be coming home with you, but what are you looking at that dude for? You need to be with me. Jay, I totally get why you did it. Aside from the Twitter thing, that's the only beef I have in this whole situation. Jay is laying claim to what he feels is his right. And his right is to have a fan base in the TD Garden that supports him and his 14 teammates and that coaching staff. And no one who's not in that group should be getting cheered.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm with you, Jim. But listen,
introduced next game,
I think it's going. I think he's going to get the loudest round of applause of any of the Celtics stars, because I do think this is the kind of thing that is going to galvanize him and his fan base. And I think this is the kind of thing that could potentially turn so many things around for the team. Right. Yes, they're playing well, but they really haven't excited the fan base.
Right.
I mean, they've had nice crowds, but the fans haven't really had anything to get jazzed up about. Jay calling you out, and then afterwards when he says, yeah, I shouldn't have did this, I shouldn't have done that, but I'm standing by what I said about you fans. You disrespect me, and I'm not backing down from that. I am all in on Jay Crowder with this beef he's got, man.
Oh, now
this
dude, you backpedaling too, like Deion Sanders. I told you
from the jump, my biggest issue with him is
the Twitter thing.
If he would have just said what he did in postgame and just left it at that, all chips in on that. And now that he's acknowledged that he was wrong for going on Twitter, and it's all about how he interacted with the fan base and let them know he felt disrespect.
Right.
All in with that.
All right. We'll see next game.
It's going to be hype.
And Jay, hey, I don't want no 3 of 10 from Jay Crowder. He better come with 20.
I don't need 21 points, but what I do need is a good game. Like, if you get like 15 points, four or five rebounds,
impactful.
Assists, that's all I want. Yeah. When I'm looking at the end, when the game is over and the Celtics win, and I'm thinking about the top 2, 3, 4 plays that really kind of turned the game's tide in their direction, his name better be one of them I'm thinking of.
I agree. Also on Thursday, Danny Ainge appeared on Toucher and Rich Sherrod, and one of the things he mentioned is that the Brooklyn pick, he's open to dealing. I mean, he's listening to offers for that. Well, I thought that was untouchable.
It's untouchable if you're trying to give me a buster in return, if you're trying to give me an average NBA player, if you're trying to give me a borderline all-star. Danny, that pick is only going to be given up if you're giving me a guy with the goods.
A bona fide all-star.
I mean, I'm just going to throw a name out there but like an Anthony Davis type player, which a guy that you and I both have talked about. Ain't no way I can see him ever winding up in Boston other than the one time that the Pelicans roll up in here every year. But it needs to be a player that when you see him being shipped from his team to the Celtics, you automatically say, oh, man, top two, top three in the East. Without question, right?
And I agree, because when you look at that pick, most likely it's a guard, right?
It's looking
that
way.
The top three guys, I think, are guards. Six of the top seven are point guards, I think. And so when you look at that, and you got Isaiah playing so well, point guard, it's great to have, but you don't necessarily need it. You got some other areas of need right now that you can address. And that's
really where Danny's coming from with this. I mean, he knows that looking at his roster, it's not about tweaking this and twerking that. It's about getting a major, significant overhaul piece that makes you significantly better. And you're not going to find that in a draft from day one. Now, there are players in this draft that are going to be good,
right,
that are going to be really good. But
nobody's changing a franchise.
No, you don't have a Tim Duncan who's just going to walk through that door and make you, you know, an immediate title contender. You don't have players of that caliber in this draft, but you've got a lot of good players. I mean, you know, we're going to talk a lot about in the next coming months. You guys like Markelle Fultz.
From
Washington.
Him. Did you watch him?
Dennis Smith Jr. With NC State had a triple double. It's like the second one in school history. You know, you got Jason Tatum, who I absolutely love at Duke.
Tatum.
He's my favorite Dukie. And you know, the list goes on and on. Harry Giles, you know, one day Sixer. He's had three knee surgeries. How can he not be a Sixer?
Right.
How can he not be a Sixer?
It's a new regime there at Philly. I agree. And so it'll be interesting to see what Danny does with this pick. But I don't think anybody – there are no – like maybe Minnesota? They got some young players. Maybe you can poach. Who's out there – DeMarcus Cousins.
See, a lot has to change in the coming weeks. I mean, like a name that I, you know, I've spoken to some scouts, and there have been some reports recently that where his name has come up, Andrew Bogut. I mean, he's basically said, you know, I'm out.
Right. Yeah.
I'm out either trade deadline or I'm out at the end of the season. But Dallas, it's a wrap. It's been nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Does he make you a title contender if, let's say, you trade Amir for him? No.
No.
He might help you a little bit.
He makes
you a little bit better defensively, but he doesn't move the needle and make you an automatic title contender.
What about a guy like Nerlens Noel?
He'll make you better.
Right.
But I don't think he makes you significantly better. And I think with Nerlens, it's more long-term than short-term. I think long-term, he'd be a better fit, addition.
Yeah.
But immediately, I think you might actually take a step back with him because I don't think he understands the fundamentals of playing defense at a high level the way Amir Johnson does. And physically, he doesn't have, I think, as big a build. But obviously, he got that bounce.
Right. But what I'm afraid of with the Celtics, Rod, is that they – are in this, I don't want to say no man's land, but in this point where do they go now? Like, what's next? I mean, have they peaked? Have they reached their ceiling? Because if you build through the draft, it's going to take a few more years.
Yeah, but if you build through the draft, you control your own destiny as far as the elite players that are going to be part of your future going forward. And, again, they have to hit a home run this year. With that Brooklyn pick, it has to be a guy that in 2, 3, 4 years we're talking about as being one of the best players. This can't be, you know, a nice addition.
Right.
This has to be a centerpiece.
Star.
You have to get it because I think it's going to get harder and harder to trade for that centerpiece type player because teams have more money.
Yep.
And players are looking around saying, wait a minute, I can either go to this team and be second or third. I can stay here and be third or fourth. And I make $30-40 million.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I agree. Speaking of Nerlens Noel, I'd like to see him in Philly. I don't know if it's going to happen. And what would the Sixers want? Like, what's the market for Nerlens Noel?
See, that's the problem. He is a guy that we've all seen what he can do when he's healthy. But it's the same issue every Sixers player that has any kind of trade value. Can they stay healthy?
Yeah.
Can they give me consistent production that makes it worthwhile me giving up assets of value for them? And that's, you know, Danny has been pretty open and candid about that. He's not just going to make a trade just to make a trade, just to say, yeah, I got rid of that pick and that pick. No, he doesn't play that game. He's trying to get over, which every GM is trying to get over. And I'm not mad about that.
Right.
I like the fact that Danny is trying to hustle every time he makes a deal.
Danny trying to pull a fast one out there.
He should. Guess what? There are 29 other GMs who are trying to pull a fast one, too. He's all he's doing. The only difference between Danny and a lot of GMs is I think he's better at actually executing the hustle than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be talking about this Brooklyn pick forever in a day as one of the ultimate hustles. To me, it's almost up there, not quite, but almost up there with what the Dallas Cowboys and the Vikings did back in the day Herschel Walker. Not quite that
20
good
for one or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, if I'm Danny Ainge, no matter what, you got to get it right.
Yeah.
You can't take a player and this guy turns into a bust. You can't trade him for a bag of peanuts. You know, you got it. Whatever the move you make, it has to be the right.
You can't have an Anthony Bennett moment.
Right.
You can't have a Darko Milicic moment. You know, particularly the Darko one where, damn near, everybody that went around him was way better.
Yeah.
I mean, Wade, LeBron, Bosh.
Bosh, Carmelo, everybody.
Even Kurt Heinrich.
Kurt Heinrich had a better career. All right, let's dial up Keith Pompey. He can tell us all things about the Sixers, especially about Nerlens Noel, what's going on there. Joel Embiid, Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer.com joining us here on the Celtics Talk Podcast. All right, to discuss everything regarding the Philadelphia 76ers, let's bring in a guy who knows all about the Sixers, Keith Pompey of the Inquirer, Daily News, Philly.com, Mr. Philly himself. What's up, Keith?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, good, good. Oh, Keith, I'm just going to jump right into it and get to the man that really the most relevant player on that Sixers roster, Mr. Joel Embiid. And just what's been the key to him having just this final – you know, finally having that breakout season, the third-year rookie?
The key. Well, actually, the main key is his health, you know what I mean? Mm. Being healthy. But other than that, you know, if you really want to describe this guy, you know, some people talk about, you know, his post moves. They talk about the fact that, you know, he can shoot the ball from the perimeter. But the one thing is his competitiveness. Now, I know some people may say, come on, bro, what you talking about? You know, you're supposed to bring it.
You read my mind.
Plays, you know what I mean? Exactly. But he plays, I'm telling you, he plays with a chip. Like, he's the type of guy, like, when somebody's guarding him, he's giving him an elbow in the chest. He keeps punching at him a little bit. And it's just like, you know, he's the dude that he reads everything that people say about him, and then he'll come at you. And I know that sounds crazy. But when he gets motivated to go up against people and he takes it personal and he just wants to go out there and he wants to embarrass you, he wants to excite the crowd. But, you know, but then when you blend that together with his skill set, you know, that's why he's so good. But I'm telling you, wait till you see him. I mean, he's just really competitive. He doesn't back down from anyone.
And Keith, the thing I like about him, and you know, I don't get to see him every day like you do, but he doesn't accept losing. I feel like, you know, in the last few years, you know, people in Philly, you know, expected the Sixers to lose, which they did a lot of. We know that.
Tankapalooza.
But Embiid doesn't use that as an excuse. I mean, he takes the losses hard, it seems like.
He takes his losses hard, and like, you know, and he'll say something, you know, he'll, like, you know, he's refreshing, man. He's like the type of guy that, you know, you guys would like to cover. Because, you know, after losses nowadays, you know, people in the locker room, and they'll say, man, but we're trusting the process. You know, we'll get them next time. He's like, nah. You know, when I look around, I see myself playing hard defense. I expect my teammates to do the same. We didn't bring it tonight. You know, and everyone knows exactly who he's talking to. He's talking about, rather. So it's one of those things where, you know, he's refreshing. He doesn't take it. He doesn't take it lightly at all. Now the only thing is, you know, a lot of these guys, like Nerlens Noel, when they first came here, you know, they were the same way. But then it got to a certain point, you know, these butt whoopings are real. So after a couple of years, it's kind of like, you know, they're on the next ship trying to get out of here, so to speak. But, you know, it's like we'll see how he responds if they continue losing, you know, next year like this as well.
Well, the one thing about him that I've noticed is that there are very few players with his level of experience that can dominate the games in such limited bursts the way he does. And so I think the question most people want to know is, when are they going to let Joel Embiid free and play, you know, big boy minutes? Because he plays, you know, 25, 30 minutes, but when is he going to be able to play 30, 35 minutes, the kind of minutes that when you're talking about your franchise player, they're logging those big time minutes?
Well, I will be interested to see what he does against the Celtics on Friday, because he played 30 minutes. We played 29 minutes, like close to 30 minutes. I mean, it was like 29, you know, like 50 something, I believe it was, a couple nights ago. So he is starting to log those minutes. Now, the thing is, you know, let's face it, if the dude trips and falls and messes up his foot, then next thing you know, there goes the franchise player. So they're trying to just make sure that he's extra careful. But, you know, I see it gradually going up, you know, and you know, I would like to say if you gave me a time frame, I would have to say maybe, you know, March. Maybe March we'll see him probably playing around 35. Like, with Brett Brown is, like, they're getting tired of answering the question. They're saying, oh, he's going to be locked on 28 minutes for the foreseeable future. But at the same time, I mean, his condition is getting better. You know, he was a little awkward before, like he was always tripping and falling. That's getting, his balance is getting better. So I'll have to say that I would like to, I like to believe that probably in March that we'll see him playing more minutes.
Yeah, I think fans, not only Sixers fans, I think NBA fans want to see this guy more and more out on the floor. There's no doubt, Keith, he's the franchise big man, but you guys got a couple of other big men, Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, that logjam, you know, at that position. Where does that stand at? And we heard Nerlens a couple of weeks ago chirping about minutes. Where's that situation right now?
You know, it's funny, like, Nerlens is enjoying himself right about now because he doesn't have to fight that battle anymore. I mean, I'm going to tell y'all, the one game, like, you know, Nerlens chirped, the next game he didn't play. You know, Brett Brown, before that game, he said Nerlens was not suspended, but he was out of the rotation indefinitely, right? So we all write that article. So we go, and they're playing the Pelicans, right? Now, this was some crazy stuff. I've never seen this before in my life. But they're playing the Pelicans. They put Jahlil Okafor in the game, right? He's kind of basically getting destroyed. So next thing you know, you hear, like, faint, like, Nerlens. Then it gets louder, Nerlens. And then you hear people like, put Nerlens in, coach, put Nerlens in. And then there was, like, a little faint chant going around the arena, we want Nerlens, we want Nerlens.
Wow.
After a while, now I don't know, you know, Brett Brown said he brought him in because, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it was bringing Nerlens in was like basically best for the team at the time. But it got to a point where, you know, the crowd gave Nerlens a standing ovation, man. He walked on the court, the crowd gave him a standing ovation. He scored his first bucket. You thought AI, you know, did his move against Teron Lue the way everybody went crazy. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Never. You know, and that's just how it was. I mean, you know, Nerlens is like, they're loving him now. So, you know, after a game, Nerlens will play like 10 minutes. The next thing you know, it's like, you go to the locker room, Nerlens like, oh, I'm fine. But if you go on Twitter, if you read the papers, if you just, you know, go on Philly.com or anywhere else, you're seeing all these comments with people saying, why are they doing Nerlens like that? So Nerlens doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to fight anymore. But now, on with that being said, Okafor came in and played a couple of nights ago, and when they introduced him, when he walked on the floor, they start booing him. So it's just a crazy situation now. Like, they went from hating Nerlens to now they're hating Okafor. So it's just a bad situation.
Somebody got to get that hate, clearly. And I guess the thing that I keep coming back to with Philadelphia is, and you've kind of alluded to this, they do have that glut of big men around the middle, and they've got to do something. Nerlens is really, of all those bigs, the only one that is chirped publicly about they need to do something about this. And is there any chance at this point that he might be traded? Because it sounds like he's in a pretty good situation at the moment. But is he still a guy that the Sixers – could potentially move?
I mean, he could move, but the thing is, his value, he has to bring his value up. I mean, let's face it, you know what the Sixers, you know, the Sixers wanted, the Celtics made an offer to him, the Sixers wanted more, they turned it down. And I think that right now, a lot of teams were saying, like, hey, you had Nerlens Noel listed as your third string center. We're not going to give you a lot for him. You know, they just weren't going to do it. So now it's like, to the point where he has to bring his value up. And then the Sixers have to decide, if do we want to take it? Because I honestly believe that, you know, when all is settled, like, Nerlens Noel's value will be probably at the highest it's going to be, either at the trade deadline, if someone, like, gets injured or hurt and they just want to say, okay, we need him, or it may get higher, like, in the offseason. Like, and I think what I mean by that is, like, let's just don't rule this out. I know it sounds crazy, but I can see the Sixers, you know, like trying to re-sign Nerlens, right? And then saying, okay, we're going to keep you. Your value is going to be really high, and then we'll move you next season. And I know that sounds crazy, but I can see that happen.
That sounds like Philly.
I could see that happening. Now, the thing about Okafor, the problem is they did this Twin Towers. The Twin Towers sounds great. Everything looks great. But when you take Nerlens Noel or Joel Embiid away from the rim, it's a straight layup line out there. And you feel bad for the guy because he's an offensive-minded guy, but he can't make stops. And then it's like everything crumbles around him. You know, you don't want to just, you know, criticize him, but it's like everyone's scoring on everyone.
But, Keith, and that's the problem. I feel like Okafor would probably be the ideal person to move. Why aren't they I would imagine they are considering that. What's his value, though, and why aren't we talking more about him being the guy dealt and not necessarily Nerlens?
Because his trade value isn't as high. I mean, no one, you know, it's like, you know, you look at Nerlens, let's say Nerlens to Boston. You know, Nerlens doesn't have to score. He doesn't have to do anything. He can run up and down. He can you know, get fast break layups. He can protect the rim. He can do all those things. Whereas Jahlil Okafor is going to be more of, you know, he needs the ball in his hands. And when he gets the ball, it sticks. So that's the problem. You know, that's the problem. That's the reason why he is not very valued. He doesn't bring it on a defensive end. And I don't think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. You know, I think the problem is just that, you know, he's a younger guy. He's always been a scorer. You know, he at 6'11", 265 pounds. It's just one of those things where, you know, they just said, hey, man, just score at will and you're going to be a millionaire. Now he's learning that in the NBA, you got to bring more than that.
Well, Keith, let's say that it gets to a point where, you know, Philly makes their mind, we're trading one of these bigs and we're going to trade them like today. If they want to talk to the Boston Celtics, other than Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, who we both know, there's no way in hell they're sending them to Philly, who else on the Celtics roster might Philly have some interest in if they were to, let's say, part with an Okafor or part with, you know, a Nerlens?
You know, one of those young guards, I mean, you know, they need a guard. They need a guard. They need a point guard, man.
Terry Rozier.
You know, they need a point guard right now. But then also, here's the problem with that. It's like, you know, but next year you want Ben Simmons to be the point guard. So you really need like a combo guard. You need a shooter. Now, and that's the thing. But at the same time, if I'm Danny Ainge, if I'm someone else, I'm saying that I'm, okay, we'll take them off of you. We'll take somebody off of you. But they get backed up. Why should we give you somebody who's our sixth man or somebody who's in our starting lineup for your backup, a guy who you deem as a third string? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation. I mean, as good as Noel is as far as being a rim protector and as great as a scorer Okafor is, you know, everybody knows that this is Embiid's team. So they're not going to try to give you something, especially if they're competing in the East.
Yeah, and you know, Sherrod likes to diss the Sixers.
I do.
Diss Philly.
I do.
I'm saying this is a new regime, Keith. This isn't the same, you know, we're going to draft 20 big men running the front office now. You got Colangelo there, and they have to do something, obviously. I don't know what it is, you know, from a Sixers standpoint. I like some of their young players, but you're right, they need guards, they need shooting, and good thing for them is there's some guards in this draft, right, Keith? I mean, they'll have, in my eyes, two top six, top seven picks to address those needs.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be able to address a lot. They have a lot of options in the draft, but you know what, me personally, you know, seeing this team, you know, let's face it, I'm in the gym right now. I'm looking at Nerlens Noel with number six pick. I'm looking at Okafor, the number third, you know, Embiid, number third. You know, they have all these, they got Dario Saric, you know, but
they don't have veterans, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. They need veterans. But, hey, y'all, I don't mean to cut this. The coach is getting ready to walk over.
Tell Brett you're on our podcast. Tell him to wait, Keith. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I know, right? I know. The way people trying to take my beat, I got to go.
All right, Brett. Thanks for joining us. Keith Pompey of the Inquirer, DailyNewsPhilly.com, with some good stuff there on the Sixers. Thanks again to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Coach is coming. Gotta go.
Coach is coming. Gotta go. Gotta go. I'm enjoying it, but I got to roll. Let's keep it real. Philly has botched this whole
totally
big man
have.
Situation.
They have. And this is the thing. You know, people give the Celtics grief for not getting it right with some of their picks. And, you know, frankly, it's worse with Philly only because Philly has so many holes that they could have addressed through the draft. I mean, they need a point guard desperately, and they've had multiple shots at getting it. And even though we talk about this draft is point guard heavy, and they're going to get it right.
Exactly. They're going to get a point guard.
Will you be shocked if they take Harry Giles?
Yes, because
multiple knee surgeries?
No, I said before, this is a different regime. You got to realize Colangelo and those guys, they weren't here when they drafted Embiid and Noel and Saric. That was, you know, the old regime. And so I feel like, especially when they're going to have two top 10 picks, they got to get a point guard. With that being said, the Sixers have hit on all their picks in terms of talent, Sherrod. Talent-wise, I think they've done pretty good with the picks.
When you look at the drafts that they've had and you look at the top three or four picks, almost every one of those guys in the top four turned out to be. I mean, Anthony Bennett is probably the biggest bust of all those. And when you look at Embiid, you know, a guy that slipped a little bit, everyone knew he was going to be really good. It was just a matter of, are you willing to wait for him to come around health-wise before he can be an impact player? And you're right, they have done a good job. But Keith alluded to this in the podcast. You're not going to win a championship with a bunch of first-round picks in their first, second, and third season. You look at a guy like Steph Curry, who is phenomenal. Right. It took years before he became the Steph Curry that people are emulating in basketball courts and gyms across the country. And I don't. The thing that the Sixers haven't done, they don't have veterans who can play.
But that's why I say the Celtics don't have what the Sixers really want. A point guard. Terry Rozier, you can get a point. If you want a young point guard, you get one in the draft. The Celtics don't have that veteran point guard. Marcus Smart, he's starting to come around. But that's why I don't know if the Celtics make that much of a sense trade partner-wise. They don't have shooting. Maybe you Avery Bradley or something like that. They also need a two guard out there. But in terms of a point guard, I just don't see the fit for what the Celtics have, you know, that could help the Sixers.
No, I mean, that's too bad because it makes a lot of sense for them to get something done because the Celtics, they need that one athletic run the floor, someone who's going to, you know, take the mantle from Amir because I don't expect Amir to be back next year. I think he'll get better offers for more money elsewhere, to be candid. And you add a guy like Nerlens, that would be a great fit. I think the more you watch the Sixers play, the more you realize why so many teams were hesitant to even contemplate bringing in Jahlil Okafor.
Right.
He cannot defend. I mean, we're talking human turnstile in the lane every day.
Yeah, but he can score, though. And so, to me, with Jahlil, if you had a great defensive big to play alongside of him, then I think it could work.
Perfect team for him would be Utah. He would give them a dominant score, and when he gets beat defensively, you've got the Stifle Tower to bail him out.
I got another team for you.
What?
Nah, see, I was going to say Detroit, Drummond, but Drummond's, you know, he doesn't, you know,
you've got
clogs the lane too much.
You've got two bigs who couldn't score more than 15 feet away from the basket.
Yeah, So you need a big that can shoot, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a good defender. Those don't grow on trees.
No.
Man.
If you can get a guy that's great or good at one and average or so-so at the other area, you'll be okay. But that's why, you know, people want Danny to get something done. It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, athletic bigs who can shoot and rebound and defend, you know, they're not a dime a dozen. There's a reason why those guys that are in the league with those skills stay in the league a long time. I mean, Amir Johnson. Amir has never averaged more than like 10, 11 points in a season. Mm. And the dude is going into his 12th, 13th year. And he's never been the number one, two, or three option on any team he's ever played for.
Yeah.
Because he has very specific skills that teams know when you're talking about building a title contender, building a team that can make a little noise in the playoffs. You need one or two guys with his skill set.
Yeah, and so, but if you're Danny Ainge, and we talk about trade rumors all the time, what do you do? You know, it's maybe you stand pat.
I still think your best shot is to ride it out with the picks you got.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the teams that are competing for a championship and you look at the core pieces that they have, they got them through the draft. And it was part scouting, part luck, and just part opportunity that guys had to really showcase their skills. You know, and I still think, you know, the guy that we talk a lot about around here, Jaylen Brown, he's just going to get better with time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's showing signs of being a really, really good player, particularly the way he's starting to come around from the defensive standpoint. Offensively, that's going to come. But if he can establish a strong base defensively, and I think he's getting to that point, he's going to be a really, really good player for these guys.
I mean, what are we, 6 weeks away from the trade deadline?
It's pretty quiet.
Right?
I mean, teams are talking, obviously,
yeah.
But so many teams have in what I call the Celtic zone, where they're good but not great.
Right.
They're in that, you're not a championship contender, but you're not a lottery
right.
team. You're just kind of somewhere in the middle. They've had major injuries, and they're starting to figure out who they are.
Mm.
And there's some teams in the East that, to be candid, scare the hell out of me. That we're not talking about. Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, they're playing better now.
And they're gonna get, you know, some guys healthy back. And
yeah.
and Giannis Antetokounmpo. My goodness.
Oh, did you see that shot against the
Yes.
Knicks too?
But you know what? To me, it was a combination of a team in Milwaukee that just called, I thought, just a horrible play. Because it was just an ISO.
Right.
It was an ISO with no movement.
Yeah.
Everyone was just kind of standing
yeah.
around. No one blitzed him. You knew he was looking to take
right.
that shot. And the one thing that disappointed me in that, and it hurts my heart to say this because he's a Syracuse guy, but at that moment in the game, Carmelo Anthony, you have to guard him. You have to guard him. He is the guy that
Dude.
Is... You that, have
he
to.
May be the toughest guy to guard, though,
but you
in
know
the
what?
League, bro.
Here's the thing. If you got Carmelo guarding him, the rest of the team defensively is thinking, oh, snap, we
right.
got to give him some help.
We got to give
him
some
help.
No, they didn't have no help out
no,
there.
No, they gave him no help. And the you know, the rest of those guys were just chilling. I mean, Courtney Lee was at damn near half court guarding Jason Terry. Jason Terry hit no
right,
half
right,
court
right,
shot.
Right, right.
What was he thinking?
Hey, Milwaukee is a team on the rise, and they have young talent. So keep an eye on them. All right, let's get out of here. Sherrod, thanks again to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer, Daily News, and Philly.com for shedding some light on Joel Embiid and Nerlens Noel. Don't forget, you can always check us out on CSNNE.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, all the podcasting apps out there. And also, hit us up on Twitter, Sherrod B. CSN, Kyle Draper TV. We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.